Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love him. He is good to us. He loves us so much. And I love the Lord our God and King. You know, the Lord thinks of everything. And when we, he evaluates, I always say that, I know I do, but he always thinks of everything. Everything he does is well thought out, well planned, well organized. From the beginning he did this. He knew that when men fell in sin, they were going to begin to lose some things. Now, I listened to Timothy Albarino's Birthright Conference. And within the conference itself, he showed how, when he illustrated the fall of man in a very unique way. He had Adam, he said Adam was like in his original state without sin. He was strong, he was mighty, mentally. Many times over what others are, what people are today, you know. His mind was more like a supercomputer more than, you know, but in the fall, you start digressing. Remember, he named all the animals, and that's a lot of animals, and remembered them. When there's no sin, there's no interference. So he's right. And I noticed this myself years ago. I noticed that the people who were closer to Adam, they spoke with more depth and gravity and knowledge than than men did as time progressed forward. You know, I can prove it. The book of Job. Now, Satan was so focused on getting Job to turn on God because he was looking for a new Nimrod. You know, that's why he did that. Job was born. He was born much after Nimrod got killed. Nevertheless, Job and his friends, they were wise people. They had a lot of knowledge. And Job is the first person I remember in the Word of God that acknowledged a need for a daysman, which is Jesus. And Satan couldn't handle him. Satan said he could make him curse God to his face, and he was focused on doing that strategically. Now, the disasters that happened, you know, it happened in sequence. It showed how Satan could organize and plan. He was a brilliant angel when he was an angel, because as Satan, he made a brilliant military move against Job, designed to cause Job to fall. But Job wouldn't fall. And after all the disasters happened, then his wife said, "You ought to just curse God and die." Well, he influenced his wife, but that didn't work. Then his three friends who loved Job came along, but Satan knew that they didn't understand him. But in trying to convince Job that he was in some kind of sin, and Job was trying to refute what they were saying, we got a lot of history and dialogue from him. So this shows the mental capability of people back in his day. But he was closer to Adam than David was. And David had a relationship. And he talked about Jesus too. The Lord said to my Lord. David was wise beyond his years as well, because he had a relationship. He had a devoted relationship with the Lord. But see, when the closer you were to Adam, the wiser you were, the less you lost. From the, you know, and his presentation showed how people, even though we live longer, we're dependent on all kind of medicines. And if we lost access to the medical system that we have, many people on earth would die within days and weeks. Now he's right, Timothy Albarino was right. He is right about all this. And when, but a relationship with the Lord makes the difference. Whatever we lost in our courses in the world, you know, the time we lived in the world, the influences of the world are around us all the time. So we're always losing something because of it. But when you have a reunited relationship with the Lord, when you get saved, born again, and then go on to know the Lord, then the Holy Spirit will guide you in the truth, all truth, so that you won't be succumbed by all the lies of the enemy. Now, And this is important. Even though people get born again, that doesn't mean they get taught. That means they get changed. You got a new heart. If you didn't make good grades before you got saved, you're not going to make better grades after you get saved unless you start learning. You got to change your attitude and your will to learn and start learning. Otherwise, you'll be a dumb man on your way to heaven, or you'll be a uneducated man on your way to heaven. But then when you are taught, when you do make good grades, you're learning things. What are you learning? And is it true or not? Some people make A's and A pluses, but they're being taught bad information. They're making A's on wrong knowledge. So that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Some knowledge is the same no matter what, you know, like if science, engineering's, you know, they engineer an engine, and then we mechanics, we don't engineer it, we fix what they put together. We learn it. It makes sense to us. We fix it. And sometimes we change it and make it better than they did. Because engineering and mechanics are close. They're tied together. But theirs is another aspect of it. So that kind of knowledge stays the same. But science and religious beliefs, scientific theories, those things are not always sound doctrine, especially the religious theories. But the Lord's going to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He's excellent at it. So when we, and He'll teach you at your pace, and He'll teach you in a way where you won't get in pride. He help you with your foundation first. See, a lot of times people are too impatient with the Holy Spirit. They don't take time and pray. They try to use their brain to figure out. If a mechanic tries to do the engineer's job, that doesn't always go over good. The engineer knows what he's doing. He knows how thick the metal need to be. You know, some mechanics, they bore the cylinders too much. You can't bore it too much. It'll be too thin. But the engineers, they know how thick it should be. And they make it with enough room so you can make it a little bit bigger. But if a mechanic try to do the engineer's job, that may not work right. If the engineer try to do the mechanic job, that may not work right either. It may or may not, but because they know more, they've been trained better. Now the Holy Spirit is perfect. So I'm not going to try to do His job. I let Him do His job and I listen to Him, and then I do my job. As a man born in this world, we're the king in this world because of the lease of Adam. Adam's lease is not up yet. Once it is, then God can come and do what He wants. But right now, he got to work through us. That's why He said He doesn't do anything unless He tell His prophets. He got to tell people. He got to tell a man what He's doing. And then He's got to wait till His time. And when He wants something done, He make covenants. That's why I talk about covenants so much. The Lord can't come in this realm and do what He wants to do. He has to find somebody that He can make a covenant with, somebody that will follow Him, somebody that will be in agreement. He'll do His job perfectly if we'll stay in our lane and do our job. So if we believe wrong, it's going our believing wrong, whatever we believe or miss, is going to interfere with what God is doing. It's not about whether He loves us or not. It's not about whether we're justified or not. This broadcast, I'm saying these things because yesterday's broadcast, I illustrated how the Lord can't build on top of junk, religious junk. Some doctrines need to go in the junk file, and we need to stop it before we go any further. See, it's not about, the Lord can anoint a man, but the anointing will not change a man's opinions and his thinking process against his will. The anointing introduces the perfect will of God because it gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So if you learn from the anointing and willingly adjust the way you think, and come up to the standards of God, then more, guess what God's going to do? He's going to pour more anointing on you. And if you come to a point you can carry a greater anointing and you're 85 years old, when many people die at that age, God can give you an extension. We're supposed to live 120 years anyway. And the only reason we don't is because people, you know, they read where Moses said Israel would live to be 70 years old. That's because they were hard-headed. They were stiff-necked, hard-headed. They always resisted the Holy Spirit. So their life was cut short. But if you don't do that, if you live willing and obedient, you can live to be 120 years old. Wonderful. I want people to understand God. If you get an understanding, then you can do more. See, the Holy God is wise, and He's holy, and He loves us. Now, the things I had to say yesterday, the people God couldn't build on, He couldn't build on their ministry like He wanted to. It was because of the way they do things, the things they believe, the setbacks, the unbelief, the doubt that's entwined in their doctrines. And sometimes the false applications, the bylaws that they created, it was divisive. When the Pentecostal church had a lot of rules, they called them holiness churches because they thrived on being holy. All right. And the women couldn't wear makeup. They couldn't wear pants, jewelry. They had to come in church with a hat on or a doily on their head. Then nobody could go to the movies, play sports. See, they're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do and how to do it. You can go swimming. You can go fishing. You can play sports. And going to the movie. I asked the Lord about this stuff. I said, Lord, you know, now this is not because of the Holiness Church. This was personal stuff. I said, Lord, I like to watch movies. But I don't want to do anything that would displease you. I said, and I like to watch these movies, and I like action movies, all kind of movies, war movies. I said, what's your position? He said, it's neither here nor there. Which means it doesn't matter to me. We live in a world where everything goes. When we go to a movie, the people that's in the world that make these movies, they're going to make movies about things that happen, things they think people will be interested in. And sometimes you can learn principles from a movie and applications. And it gives people, a movie is a good thing if you use it right. Many people watch movies, saved and unsaved people watch movies. And sometimes you can give a movie reference. See, but if you say, well, you're telling people that God said you don't need to be watching movies. Now, you're trying to be that Holy Ghost. And that's not, you know, that. And now this is the other thing. As a minister, and I heard all these doctrines all these years. I went to church all my life. My dad was a Methodist pastor. And I went to a holiness church, 4 years before I became a minister. So I heard all these doctrines. I knew the Baptist doctrine. I knew the Methodist doctrine. I knew the holiness doctrine. Even the Church of God and Christ doctrine was a little bit different. And the Assemblies of God, that doctrine was a little bit different. And we studied these things. And we used to say, well, we're right, and they're not right on that, and they're not right over that. None of us were actually right. When you measure it by the Word of God, we had some faults. And so I said, well, I don't want to create another dogma. You know, that was my thinking. I said, when the Lord called me to preach, I said, I don't know what I'm doing no way. So I wanted to know that I could do it God's way. And I didn't, that's why I wasn't so excited about preaching. I didn't know how to do it. But when the Lord gave me a message, I saw a way. I had a strategy. I said, I'm going to preach. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach what God give me. And I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. And I'm going to learn. So while I'm preaching, I heard from the Lord. I spoke what He gave. It was three things going on with what God said. It was love was in it. It was holy in the sense of the word pure. And it was wise. It didn't. Sometimes ministers' message, it was not according to Proverbs. It left out the wisdom of Proverbs in the doctrine. And then it was different than what Jesus said. So it wasn't quite pure. Like the dogmas, like the doctrines and man-made dogmas that people would speak. And I noticed now, I was ready to preach whatever God gave. He never gave me a message about how women should dress. He never gave me a message about earrings and jewelry, you know, that kind of stuff. He never gave me a message about how we can't go to play sports and go to sports events. Never gave me a message about going to the movies. He never gave me a message about a lot of things. You know, some people drink coffee. He never gave me a message about people drinking coffee. And beer and wine, for that matter. Now, you know, wine is a mocker according to Proverbs. I don't drink. I will not drink. I just don't drink. The only way I would drink something is if I was around a place where the water was bitter. And then I wouldn't get drunk. I don't ever want to be drunk. But the first miracle Jesus did was turning water to wine. But the Holy Spirit never gave me those kind of restrictions against people. Now, and I know that God, that the Lord took cigarettes away from people. He took away that taste for tobacco. But sometimes people smoke anyway. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But every message he gave was about things that needed to be taught. When in the denominational world, you know, they say, well, this went out with the apostles. Well, guess what? God called me to be an apostle. So he's still calling apostles. See, they didn't read their Bible too good. Timothy was an apostle. Titus was an apostle. Even Demas was an apostle. He just went back to the world. Most of the people that Paul was mentoring were apostles. You know, Aquila and Priscilla, his wife. These people were being trained by Apostle Paul to take up where he left off. I remember Kenneth Hagin counted about 20 apostles. I got to go back and read that part, but he didn't stop calling apostles. You know, he was grooming Timothy to, you know, he called him a bishop. Same thing. He was over churches. Timothy was. He was just young. Paul was about to, he was at the end of his course when he wrote 2 Timothy and Thessalonians. Now, it's time now for people to let the Holy Spirit train them. Jesus is the head. We're not the head. We take orders. We don't give them. And that's the problem. Just because we have a following or we've been in the ministry long, we're going to write these rules and put restrictions on people that God didn't do. Anytime people take it upon themselves to do that, they cause problems that they don't see. They don't see it. From their perspective, they're doing a good thing. But they can't. The aftermath of all that, of any false doctrine, causes problems. Now the Lord had me in a unique position to see this. As a child, I was very quiet. I didn't talk much. The Lord put it in my heart to get an understanding. And I, as far back as I remember, as long as I could talk, I would ask questions to adults. Any adult, I would ask them questions. My mother, she would tell me that I'd wear her out with questions. Then my sister. Then when they were in college when I was about 3-4 years old, they was in college. So, in fact, we moved when I was 3, and my two older sisters was in college. They didn't even know where we lived. they had to learn where we lived anyway. But when they would come home, I would wear them out with questions. And it was a new neighborhood, so I had to find me a new adult to talk to. And so when Miss Fowler would go out to dry her clothes, she would hang her clothes out in the backyard. I would go out there and load her down with questions. And when she came to my mom's funeral, I said, "Miss Fowler, you remember when I used to ask you all them questions?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I used to be looking out the window to see if you was outside." And she said, "I used to look out the window to see if you was in the backyard." So, you know, this is true. I wanted to know things. And I was a pastor's son, so I went to church. I saw things. I saw good things, wonderful things at church. And I saw peculiar things at church. Then when I went to the Holiness Church, oh my, it's another world. And I saw a lot more stuff in church. Now, in the midst of all this, I'm trying to get to know the Lord and understand Him and what He expects of us. And I kept reading in the Word, and what aggravated me the most was, man, always feel God. God would tell them what to do, they'd do something else. He'd tell them what to do, they'd do something else, and get in trouble. Then he'd have to go fix it. I said, I don't want to do that. And I was motivated. Now, this was a big deal to me. Some people don't, you know, well, this is not important to them. But accuracy stood out to me. I wanted it. When I read the book of Acts, I saw how they kept doing miracles. Now, let's go look at what God said in the first place. When the people of God, the Hebrews, first were exited out of, at the Exodus, they left Egypt. A person that was a slave all their life, they spent time with Moses, they're faithful. You know, me and Joshua had a lot in common. He wanted to get things right. And he wanted to do it right, but he learned a bunch of garbage. Now let's start at verse 1. This is important. I'll start at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail you, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Before I go read verse 6, put yourself in Joshua's position. You got about 5 million people, or however many it was, that's listening to you. You are in Moses' seat. Moses is dead. You don't have anybody you can look at and get instructions now. You have to remember the training that you had. And you were once a slave, and it's hard to come out of how you think. You have to learn things. All right. And the Lord said, as I was with Moses, verse 5, so will I be with thee. I will not fail you nor forsake you. But you can't see God talking. You hear what he's saying, but you can't see him. You have to use faith now in order to have confidence. Okay. Verse 6, we are in his position when we come out of the world into new life. We're in the same situation. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Now watch this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now watch this part. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So, how do you do it? You meditate on what God said, the law. And in that time, the law was the only segment of the Bible that he had. Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy, or Numbers, the first 5 books. So he was faithful with that. And let's look at another illustration. And once you believe something, it's hard to change course. It's not always easy. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius, of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Notice something. Saul was noted last. Now watch verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, the first thing they were doing was praying. They spent time in the Lord's presence. And other verses prove this. They were fasting and seeking the Lord. See, they ministered to the Lord. They were praying. They were seeking his counsel. They were growing. And this is where, and what comes to you, see, it's not by might or power, just like Zechariah taught us in chapter 4. It's not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit. So when I compare what was coming from the Holy Spirit to what people were actually teaching and doing, I saw a big void, a difference. There was like a gulf between the two. What God was doing was so much better and so much more accurate. Now, this broadcast is called Practical Applications. The Lord, what comes from his heart is perfect and pure, and there's no sin and no fault in it, and it works. So when people, from their perspective, because of the wrong teaching that they had and the doubts and unbeliefs that they had, it gets mixed into the message. And it causes fear. And then it causes people to struggle with the Word of God. They're afraid that they love their life. They got a good job, and then they're afraid they might get cancer. And if they do get it, then fear comes on them. Because they don't have the confidence to know for a fact that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. I was healed by it. Jesus healed me. I can claim it. But they're taught to pray and ask God to heal them. And then hopefully you'll get healed. And they pray in hope, not faith. And sometimes they get healed. Like Pastor said, sometimes people have a faith accident. And sometimes people get the word and they get healed. And they live that way. And sometimes people believe God and they get in fear. And once they get in doubt, then they can't get healed. James said, if you have faith and doubt, you're unstable. You got to have faith and no doubt. And it will always work. But cold religion will tell you, it leave you with loopholes. That's men trying to give God a back door. So, you know, well, maybe God had a reason to take him home early. Now, everybody that came to Jesus got healed. Watch this. Everybody that came to the apostles in the book of Acts and the evangelists and the preachers, everybody that came for prayer got healed if they asked for it. Nobody died. Nobody. Find it if you don't believe me. God is practical. When people see when people go religious and they believe something, they're right in their mind. You can't tell them they're not right. But they see when they impose these old 1800 dogmas on people, like women shouldn't wear pants, and you know that came out of culture, not the Word of God. Now they took it from Deuteronomy 22:5, but they took it out of context. When I first got married, that didn't sit well with my wife in those days. So she didn't believe it. She read it, but it didn't make sense to her. Why I don't see why I have to wear a dress all the time. It's not practical. Well, I went to the Lord. I said I didn't want to argue with her about it. I went along with the church at first. I thought they knew what they were talking about. I said, "Lord, why did you put this scripture in the Bible?" He said, "That was there for the homosexuals." That's not the motive of today's people. Women wear pants because you can ride a bicycle. You don't have to worry about your dress flying up. And they began to wear them when they had to go in World War II and work in the factories. And that was culture shock to people of that day. And they thought it was blasphemy against God for a woman to wear pants. Well, guess what? In Scotland, they wear dresses. They just call them kilts. In America, they got pants for men and women. And they button different. You know, a man's shirt and a woman's shirt, it buttons different. The buttons, you know, overlap differently. I didn't know that till I was watching a man, and Matlock caught the guy because he had on a woman. He was a man. He was dressed like a woman, but he had on the coat was wrong. It was I think he was pretending to be a woman, but his coat was like a man's coat, and he caught it because the buttons don't overlap the same way as a woman's would. I didn't know this, but he knew, you know. But anyway, they made clothes for different. This is the problem that it caused. As crazy as all this sounds, I know it's crazy, but I grew up in school, and the children would make fun of the holiness girls because they had to wear them long dresses. And now sometimes girls will wear dresses, sometimes they wear pants, but they never wore them, and then they talk about them. They didn't have on earrings or makeup, and it would make them feel sad because they wanted to just be a child, and they didn't understand why these rules. But then they would taught this stuff in the name of God. So now, if I put on pants, I'm making God mad. And that's how it was presented. And there's nobody to tell them that their people told them wrong. So when you grow up in this culture, it's not going to work. And then they're saying it in God's name. Well, that is, you know, just imagine for a moment the problems it'll cause. Your son is a strong athlete. He can't wait to play football. And then you get saved, go to a church, and they say, well, we don't believe in sports because God don't like sports. You know, that ain't. Now, it took years for people to rethink this. A lot of lives were shattered because of this. He didn't go on and be an athlete and be a Christian sportsman that would have been able to talk. See, when you become an athlete and you're a Christian, you're going to get to go speak at schools. There's a lot of things that child was restricted from doing. He had to go work in some factory or be something that he was not as good at. He never got to fulfill his dream because of some church.